Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of our Weekly Outlook podcast. I hope you are all doing fine. I'm Eric, and today I have Beatriz and Sara here with me to update you with the latest news from this week. There is a lot to talk about this week, right Sara?
Hi Eric, Beatriz, and all of you that are listening to our podcast. Yes, you're right. This week, after the four Western powers, namely European Union, UK, US and Canada, slapped simultaneous sanctions on Belarusian officials and organizations, Belarus imposed retaliatory restrictions on airlines from the European Union and the UK, in addition to having introduced a ban of imports of certain goods, such as food production. These sanctions imposed by the Western powers follow the accusations that Belarus was helping the entry of illegal immigrants in the European Union to destabilize the West. Belarus President Alexander Kazenko said on Monday the sanctions, which will start on January 1st and will last for 6 months, will not do any tangible harm, as, according to analysts, Russia is throwing a lifeline to the Belarusian economy.
Also related to politics, President Biden didn't intercept Russian leader Vladimir Putin's red lines on Ukraine during the high-stakes video call that came as Russia's military builds its presence on the Ukrainian border. Biden has warned Putin that there would be several consequences if Russia launched an attack on Ukraine and said that the US would be providing defensive capabilities to the Ukrainian military. Biden also said that he was hoping to announce meetings at a higher level between Russian and at least four NATO members in an effort to address the Kremlin's complaints about the military alliance.
This week, there is a lot happening across the globe. After its failure to make an interest payment in late September sparked volatility across global markets, the missed deadlines this week could trigger an official default for Evergrande. This company, which does not often recognize its delayed payments in official filings, said that there is no guarantee that the group will have sufficient funds to continue to perform its financial obligations, and it plans to actively engage with offshore creditors to formulate a viable restructuring plan. Evergrande's liquidity crisis also motivated a reckoning over the health of China's real estate sector. According to Zhang, chief economist at Bitpoint Asset Management, the key question on investors' minds is whether the government is willing to change its policy stance on the property sector.
We have to wait and see what is going to be the future of this company. Moving on to the banking topic, this Wednesday, the Bank of Canada held its key overnight interest rates unchanged and affirmed the inflation was bordering. At the same time, the uncertainty created by the Omicron variant. Also, the central bank dropped the reference to the pressure pushing up prices as being temporary and saying the employment had returned to pre-pandemic levels. In addition, Canada's economy had considerable momentum going into the fourth quarter, but the central bank said the Omicron, along with devastating floods in British Columbia last month, could hit economy activity. The Bank of Canada stated that it expects inflation to remain elevated in the first half of 2022, returning to its 2% target in the second half of the year. So, Beatriz, what do you have to tell us about the new rules that big economy companies are facing in Europe?
Last Thursday, the European Commission published a proposal with reforms for gig economy companies, which concern employee status. This enables employees to have several legal protections, such as minimum wage, holiday pay, and employment and health benefits. Even though these tough new rules have been welcomed by labor unions, they are estimated to result in billions of dollars of costs for companies. Unsurprisingly, Uber and others are against the Commission's reforms. They claim these rules could risk the flexibility wanted by independent workers who don't want to get a permanent 9-to-5 job. With this legislation proposed, the European Union estimates an increase of 28 million to 43 million people who work for digital platforms across the globe by 2025. Is anything relevant about the climate subject this week, Enrique?
Yes, Beatriz, of course there is. South Sudan is struggling with a serious issue of drought, followed by extreme rainfall. Both of these events combined create conditions for devastating floods. Even though the country is no stranger to this seasonal event, officials in Unity State claim they have not seen anything on this scale since the early 1960s. Officials in Bantu are worried about the fact that the situation gets worse, as the next rainy season is only 5 months away. This part of the world has huge variations in its natural climate, which makes it even harder to calculate the impact of the climate changes in these extreme weather events. This is becoming a crisis, leading to more conflicts, where people are competing for the little resources available. However, the country needs to adapt, as these periods of trying and intense storms are expected to be seen more.
This is another example of the consequences of climate change, which proves that there is still a lot to be done in order to fight this serious issue. Last but not least, we should update you with the pandemic situation here in our country. Portugal has had about 1.1 million cases of COVID-19 and 8,551 deaths as of 7 December. The government moved the country back to a stage of calamity because the ease of restrictions and the rollout of vaccines were not enough to contain the virus. The cases are reappearing in force and, as a restriction, Portugal will close from 2 to 9 of January in 2022. Going back to remote work and schooling, close bars and clubs, and restrictions for tourists.
With this, we close today's Weekly Outlook episode. Thank you, Sara and Beatriz. We wish you all our listeners a great weekend and see you next week.